Our consciousness is changing, and you can see it here on the earth, right? We're kind of in our politics, in the geopolitics. It's like the world is like, whoa, it is so divided. It's so black and white, but we need that. You need the darkness in order to see the light.
I'd like to welcome to the show, Jen Bushman. How are you doing, Jen?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It has been is a treat to have you on the show. I want to really dive into your interesting journey, let's say, that you've had in your life journey as a psychic and developing and understanding those abilities. And well, my first question is, when did you first discover that you weren't like everybody else, that there was something a little bit, I wouldn't say off, but special about you?
I'm from Washington State, and I was on my first backpacking trip with my parents, and I was 5 years old up on the Olympic Peninsula, and I saw a Sasquatch when we were backpacking. And I saw two juveniles in the trees, and I thought they were monkeys. You know, they were younger Sasquatch. So I turned around and said to my dad, "You didn't tell me there were monkeys up here in the trees, you know, that we had them in our forest." And he said, "There are no monkeys here, you know, stop it." But I wouldn't stop because I kept seeing them. They were playing, kind of like jumping from tree to tree as we were hiking along the plank out to the beach. And I kept, you know, kind of pestering him, like, you know, "I'm seeing this, aren't you seeing this?" And so I got, then, you know, we moved on, and then I was separated from the group and behind, and I was tying my shoes, looked up, and there was the mother with the two juveniles. And I knew that something was different, you know, because she was covered in hair and she looked like my mom, you know. And so, but she telepathically told me to catch up, you know, go join your family, catch up, because I was all excited. I wanted to play, you know. And I kept asking my dad about it, and he kind of got angry. And so I shut down. Then that kindergarten, so I went to school that fall, started kindergarten, and I was taken with other kids up to the resource room, and we were tested, and it was by a group of people, mostly men, and they didn't look like the other teachers, you know, because that end of the school, you know, first grade and kindergarten teachers look like grandmas, right? And
they, very much so, very much so.
And so I didn't trust this man who sat me down and was asking me questions like, "Have you ever experienced anything that you couldn't explain? Anything that was odd? Anything that was weird?"
This is at school?
Yes.
How old were you?
I was five.
You're five. And they, out of the blue, they just...
They tested six of us. And so my friend Jeff, who I communicated with telepathically all through school where we grew up, we knew each other. And so he was there and he was like, "Don't answer them." And I didn't trust this man. I didn't like his energy. I didn't like, you know, I didn't trust him. I knew that there was, this was about ulterior motives, but you know, in your little five-year-old head, it was just like, "I don't like you. You know, you just don't seem like all the others," right? So later, what I learned was that some kids were like put into a program and developed as psychics to work for the government.
All right. Yeah, that we've had that. We've had people on the show who've talked about that program, about either remote viewing, those kind of things. That was a real government program, and they was real psychic spies, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. So I was not, I mean, I just shut down. I believe he was psychic because I felt like he was reading me. And, I mean, I felt like, Alex, that he almost knew what I had experienced that summer.
Right. But couldn't pinpoint it, or at least couldn't break through whatever you were blocking him, essentially. You're like, I don't want to play this game. And you, exactly. That's fascinating. I've never actually met someone who's been recruited into that program. And you said no, because you were five. So there's that.
Yeah.
it's almost very Stranger Things 80s style movie kind of scenario. So at that point, I mean, you start noticing that you're not like the other kids.
No.
So things are, and there comes a realization, I assume, at some point you're like, oh, everybody can't do this.
Right. You know, because I felt trees, you know, I feel the frequency of rocks. I feel I would know what people were thinking, and I would know, you know, animals, what was wrong with them.
But Jen, let me ask you this then. As a five-year-old, or even as an adolescent, how did you deal with this psychologically? Because did you have someone in the family who's guiding you through this whole process? You're like, oh, Jen, you've got the gift. There's that, those things, or there's the other family, which is like, what's wrong with Jen?
Yeah, Jen's a black sheep. That's what I was. I was the freakazoid.
So if you're the freakazoid in the family, how did you? Sorry, that's a very technical term, freakazoid, by the way.
Yeah.
How did you deal psychologically at such a young age? Because you don't have any tools at that age or experience to deal with this. So how did you deal with it?
Well, because, and that's what happened. So going down a rabbit hole, I do work with kids now who are psychic, and I counsel them in the way that I wish that I was, you know, to learn how to mostly managing your reaction to your gift. Because when you are open and you're inundated with feeling people's feelings, knowing what people are thinking, knowing what the weather is going to be, right? Seeing things in the future of what's going to happen. Exactly. I felt very separate, but then my father's reaction, and I'm not blaming my dad or anything like that. That's not what this is. It's just, this is what happens. My dad's reaction when we were in the forest was kind of like quiet. It was like he knew that I knew that he knew something was up, because I was always this kind of kid into everything and why. And I'd be off in my own little world, but I would know what he was up to. And he knew that there was something. So that is what I'm saying, is that was a moment where it shut me down. It like, it started to, if you envision a flower, as my friend Michelle says, you know, you see yourself wide open, and it just started to really close me down. And then it did. It got really, really bad in my teens, because the flower opened back up around 11. And that's what happens. Like, my grandmother called on the phone. I told my dad, and she said, have your dad talk to me. And grandma had died years ago, but she, you know, so I told my dad, I said, grandma really wants you. So, yeah.
Jen, I'm assuming that didn't go over well.
No, because then, you know, then he's like, you're, you know, messing with me. And I'm like, no, I'm not. But
So, good Lord. And this is, you know, this is a, I'm assuming in the, you know, later part of the 20th century. So it's not as open. Psychics and mediums and channels and spirituality and metaphysics is not a real kind of known thing. Near-death experiences were just kind of getting off the ground. It's not where we are today, where a lot of the concepts that we're talking about are more accepted. Or at least understood, whether you accept or not. It's not like witchcraft. We're not going to be burned at the stake tomorrow by having these conversations. So I imagine back then, this was absolutely taboo. Were you raised religious? Was it? Were you in a religious household?
No, we didn't go to church or.
Okay. So it's just like, but it's still a taboo-y kind of thing back then. Especially.
Yeah, it was really interesting though, because my great grandma was really metaphysical. Like she would heal people. She was a nurse. She owned a lot of land in Tacoma, Washington. And so there's a funny story about the land, how they carved I-5 through it. And she went to the door with a gun and demanded that they pay her for it.
Fair enough.
They were trying to kick her off her land. But she was a nurse, but she was a healer. And she had gifts, but my family always made fun of her memory. So I knew, you know, how you get these messages that it's not okay to. And then I did try to talk to my mom about it, because my mom was very attracted. You know, remember Nostradamus was kind of hip in his predictions, his quatrains. And my mom was hanging out with her really good friend who's very spiritual, and her sisters, and they had gifts, and they would go to Eastern Washington and meet the psychic. But my mom told me that my brother was the psychic in the family. And I was kind of like, oh, and, you know, so it made me think. I just kind of evolved into, you know, I'm crazy.
So this is
something wrong with me.
So this is something very interesting. So, because I, from my understanding, that these gifts are passed down heretically and genetically sometimes even. This is what I hear, that it's not always, but sometimes grandma or the aunt or uncle or someone had the gift and it's kind of passed down generation. Sometimes it skips a generation. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes, like possibly your mom would just like, nope, even if I had it, I'm not going to do anything about it, kind of, and they shut it down and it keeps coming through. So it was in your line, if you will, in your bloodline, quote unquote, there was some sort of gift, but no one talked about it. Because back then, and grandma's time, you definitely never talked about something like
right.
that. You would just been ousted. So that's really fascinating. So as you're growing up, you think you're crazy. You think you're going nuts. This, by the way, very common. I've spoken to many psychics and channels and other people who I go, so you thought you were nuts, right? So how did you overcome the ability, this idea that you're nuts? Because you have no guidance. You have no, the information, this show wasn't in existence back then. So you couldn't watch a show and go, oh, I'm not crazy. I may have what these people are talking about. The books weren't as available. There was no internet. How did you overcome this thought that you were nuts?
Well, when I was 19, I had a suicide attempt. And, you know, I was really, really struggling. From about 15 on, it just got worse and worse.
Well, teenage years are tough in general, let alone.
Yeah, right. And then with, you know, just not being able to talk about what was going on with me and all the other stuff with my family dynamics. I tried to kill myself, and I met my spirit guide Pink during that attempt. And I didn't realize that was my spirit guide but I met him in physical form. And he told me, because my grandma Leela had passed, my friend Chris Bagan had passed, he died of a brain tumor when he was 6. And so, you know, they were there at the tunnel, and my grandmother sent me back. And I was pulled back into the room, and there was this man standing by the bed, very tall, wearing a checkered red and black shirt. Because I grew up in Seattle, my brother was in the grunge scene. So I really identified with grunge. I was into that. That was
Fleece. Yes, Fleece. Yes.
So your spirit guides will present themselves to you in a way that they think you see them as relevant, right? Mm-hmm. So he told me it was not always going to be this way, kind of pretty much a pep talk of hang in there. You have a purpose here on this planet. And just hang on. It's not always going to be like this for you. And I thought, wow, this is a really weird thing for a volunteer firefighter to say. But, you know, it was reassuring. And then my boyfriend came home and he called 911. And so all that got through that. And a few days later, I was walking up to my car, which I drove a blue Karmann Ghia. And my good friend had a yellow one. So we were really into our Karmann Ghias. We were commuting to college together, and I kept seeing this pink Karmann Ghia. And I would, when we'd go through a stoplight or, you know, I would see this really pretty color of pinky purple. And I would say, Kathy, you know, because we were always on the lookout for Karmann Ghias. And I would see this. But at the time, I was just really, really struggling. And but I would always see this car. So when after I got home from the hospital and I was walking up to my car, we lived on a busy road in the harbor, and that pink Karmann Ghia was really slowly coming around, and it like slowed down, and it was so weird. It was almost shimmering. And it was that guy, the volunteer firefighter, that was standing next to my bed, and he was just waving at me, and I was just like, my jaw was on the ground. It was, and I didn't understand at that time what that was, who he is, what this was. I just thought, oh my God, my life is weird. It is so. You know, it was just so strange. But
so yeah, but you had enough self-awareness to know that there was something off, that, you know, you didn't fall into like, oh, this is, you didn't drink the Kool-Aid, as they said. You were kind of like, hey, wait a minute, man, things are just so weird, and I got no guidance here. And it seems like your spirit guide is coming around going, it's going to be okay. It's these little signs that kind of keep you going, even though he couldn't sit you down and go, look, this is the deal. Cause that's
not then, but he did
eventually. Well, also, and this is really interesting. And this is something I found interesting from people I've spoken to, that the other side won't give you information until you're ready for it.
Exactly.
They will not, because you're not prepared for it. And I always use the example of a lottery. You know, if you win $100 million tomorrow and you really don't know what to do with that kind of energy coming towards you, it could destroy you, as it does most lottery winners, because they're not psychologically prepared, ego prepared, spiritually prepared, financial literacy prepared, none of that stuff to deal with that kind of energy. So it's a gift that you're not getting the information maybe when you want it, but you'll get it when you need it. Fair enough.
Exactly. Fair enough, sir. Very good. Yes.
So at what point did you start to understand truly what your gift was and started to embrace the gift, at least in the private standpoint, before you, as you say, wave your freak flag out for all to see? I know there's a little step between that and where we are right now. So how did you finally embrace what you, your gift?
Well, because things, you know, were weird. And then at 22, I met a woman who was my therapist, who told me that she was a walk-in and an alien. Oh. I know you don't talk about aliens, Alec, but you know, but there is a purpose. There are ET guides that we have, and it's very real. And so she entered my life, and after 9 months of working together, I mean, she helped me so much, because this is when I was 22 and I was in school, and I was always, you know, I was better after the 19-year-old incident, but still functioned
wobbly with
this low grade depression that just kept going up and down. And but it was a little better than where I had been, but it was still a struggle. And she was wonderful, helped me in such different ways than I had ever been helped. And then the last two sessions, because I was moving to Hawaii and she was going home. is how she put it. And then the last two sessions, she told me who she was and why she was here and why I'm here. And I was like, you know, when you hear that and you already think you're crazy, right? And you've spent that 9 months just really opening up to whom you think is your therapist, right? Then it was like, you know, telling myself, oh my God, I really am delusional. I really am nuts. But there was that piece because I was so convinced that I was nuts because I marinated in this energy of belief in my family and the people I associated
programming
with
sure.
to reaffirm that I was nuts. But there was that other side where it all made so much sense. It was so right. So I did see her go home. I was going to move to Hawaii in 2 days. And I had been down at my family's house in Gig Harbor and was driving home. And I was coming up through the mountains because I lived in Bellingham at the time in Washington State. Coming down, it's this awesome part of the highway where you come up, go through the mountains and come down. And as I was cresting, I looked up through my sunroof, and there was an upside down craft, looked like an aircraft carrier. And so I did, I saw Courtney go home, and then I had missing time and all that stuff. But that was really significant for me because fast forward through my life, and I'm seeing Pink, you know, on the beach in Waikiki in his red and black checked shirt. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm seeing that guy. So I'm telling myself I'm delusional. I am crazy.
You're seeing people. You're seeing people. You're seeing dead people. And, you're seeing people. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I get you.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful mind. You're like a beautiful mind.
Right. Yeah. Bartending on the beach in Waikiki. And I know what everybody's thinking. I know what they're going to drink before they order it. I mean, I know, you know, it was just when you're open like that, like I said, you just absorb like a sponge. So not only is it crazy making here, like, gee, you know, people just don't do this, but not understanding how energy works and frequency works and how to use this to move humanity along, right? So when I was 52, I went to this young psychiatrist or nurse practitioner to get help because it was just getting really, really bad. And I was like, okay, I need this, and this, you know, these medications. And I think if I do 4 electric shock treatments, it'll zap it out. And he just kind of looked at me, he just smiled. He was like, Jen, he goes, have you ever thought maybe you're psychic? And I was like, oh, here we go again. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Why do I keep attracting all these crazy people around me?
I keep hearing these crazy mental health people. So he said, I know you are because I am. And man, that moment, Alex, it was incredible.
Yeah. The seas parted.
It changed my life. Yeah. It was like the world came together. So all those mental health insurance paid appointments turned into coaching sessions. He told me, explained to me who I was. Like I would say, okay, so when I do this and this and this, and he would say, oh, that's this. And he would say, well, what hits do you get about that? And I mean, it was just fantastic, you guys. It was so, it was so liberating and like, finally.
And this is in your 50s, you're doing this.
Yeah, I'm 57 now. So that's 5 years ago.
So let me ask you this. Now that you are aware of obviously your gift and you have a much better understanding of the other side and soul blueprints and soul plans and these kind of things, why did you have to go through 52 years of all of this crap of not understanding who you were, thinking you're crazy, because there's other people who have your gift, who have a supportive family, or has a friend that they meet in their 20s, or reads a book that really opens them up, or finds an organization, something that helps guide them. You had apparently very little guidance other than your therapist, which you still didn't kind of believe at that point. To you, why do you think you had to go through that in this life?
Well, to get me to today, to what I do now. I mean, now I am just, my days are full from 3 a.m. until 9 at night helping.
But the struggle is what got you, because there's a struggle. So you went through hell beating yourself up over these years. And trust me, I have a similar story of my own, not nearly as entertaining as yours, but of what I had to go through to get to where I am right now. So I understand the value of it.
Yes.
I still sometimes go, is it because I asked for, obviously I asked for this. Obviously this is the journey that I needed to go through, you know, but could I be who I am today if I would have gotten this information 20 years ago? Did I need 20 years of this hell? Like I'm telling you, like, did I need, could I got, could I met this psychotherapist at 30?
Yeah.
Did I really need 20 more years of this insanity?
Yeah.
So is that, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, well, you said it. You said that we aren't ready for information until we're ready. So it's a soul contract. So soul contracts are what we experience here in the third dimension as humans. In no other dimension do we experience emotion the way that we do here. I mean, if you think about it, every single interaction that you have, every relationship that you have is through emotion. You even have a relationship with somebody that you're driving alongside of on the freeway and they speed up and you notice them. It's always through emotion. And so what Courtney taught me, and that's why I do soul contract work with people, with folks, is to understand all the relationships, all the experiences that we have in our life are frequency, it's energy, and it's understanding what is the energy that is being reflected back to you, that which you need to learn. And we do it through our relationships. It's not like I chose the parents that I had or the family that I had when I was at the top of the slide and incarnated into this lifetime. You do this with other souls, and it's not like, I chose the soul next to me. That's not how it works. It works like, I will show up in a way that will teach you to love yourself. And I would say to the soul next to me, I'm going to show up in a way that will teach you belongingness, right? And so we incarnate, and then my mother and my father, they showed up as my mother and father. So it's not like we choose these experiences. And it's not like, because see, we're attaching emotion when we judge like that. It just is. It so, just shows up to reflect back to you. So I was ready when I was ready. And now I needed all of that experience, all of that pain, all of that joy, all of that, everything that I experienced in order to do the job that I do today.
So when you're on the other side and you're putting together the soul contract, and I have spoken to so many people in regards to soul contracts, from near-death experiences to psychics to channels and all that. So my understanding of it, from not being a psychic and not actually speaking to the other side, and please tell me, from what you're telling me is that, from what I understand, there are major checkpoints along the journey that you have to get to. Yeah. Like you're gonna marry this person. You're going to be an architect. You're going to be this or that. And there's moments that you have to get to. Now, how you get there is truly up to you. You can go the long way, the short way, all that stuff. But there are checkpoints that you have that you're like, hey, I really would like to know what it feels like to be obscenely rich in this lifetime. And like, would you like to start rich or would you like to become rich? Oh, I don't know. I think I'd like to become rich and actually earn my way up there. Maybe the next life I'll do hereditary and I'll just be born into a rich family. I don't know. And then, okay. So if that's what you want, then you're going to need to go here, here, and here. How you get there is up to you. But that's your experience that you want to get. That's an experience level of it. Now you go into a deeper level going, okay, I really would like to learn empathy. Okay, if you want to learn empathy in this life, okay. You talk to another soul who's in your soul group. You say, I will show up sometime in your life to teach you this lesson. If you need to go, I need to feel what it's like to be, you know, and I use this as an example because I had my own devil that showed up when I was in my 20s, who was an ex-gangster who, you know, tortured me for about a year when I was trying to make a movie with him. And he taught me so much about my life. And I imagine that when I was on the other side, I asked somebody and I asked one of the souls and they're like, oh, I got you. In this life, I'm going to be. And I'm going to come in and I'm going to teach a lot of people these lessons while I'm learning my lessons. So if you want to just swing over, I'll make sure to take care of your lesson for you. And I'm like, cool. So am I kind of getting the idea? Correct.
You are, but understand that his lesson, him acting this way, him experiencing the emotion he is from acting like that, choosing that behavior.
Correct. Yeah. He's going to learn his lessons from his send, and I'm going to learn my lessons from my end. When I heard all of this stuff years ago about soul contracts and soul blueprints, all this stuff started to make more sense. You know, it might not be the way that everybody thinks of life, but when I was like, oh, that kind of makes more sense than, oh, if we do bad, we're going to go down to an eternal hell. It didn't make any sense to me, but this actually makes sense to me. And okay, so if things are quote unquote negative things are happening to my life, they're not happening to me. They're happening for me.
They're happening for you. Yes.
And it is not easy to feel that when it's happening to you. Super easy in the back, like, oh, years ago, that was great, that all that horror that I went through.
Right.
But when you're in the horror, it's very difficult to deal with that. And it happens to me still happens to me all the time. Like, why is this happening? Why did this happen? And I'm like, oh, you know what? I might not understand what the reasoning is for this, but I might figure it out down the road. Mm-hmm. And you just got to kind of roll with the punches that way. So let's just go back real quick. So you understand who you are, what your abilities are. Yep. And now the big question is, you're a closeted psychic at this point. You haven't come out, and I love the term fly your freak flag. I think that's you should fly your freak flag.com should be one of your websites.
I think that's the name of my book. I'm trying to figure out the title for it. So
no, it's beautiful. No, it's a beautiful title. I think I'm going to fly my freak flag. What is this? At what point did you finally get the courage to come out of that psychic closet and go, okay, guys, this is what I do?
Well, I started on YouTube. And I started just, you know, using tarot cards on current events. I did that for a while and it was fun. It was wonderful because I started in two ways. You know, I was engaging in my gift, but I was also meeting people that shared my gift or encouraged it or also felt like they didn't belong. And we found belongingness and inclusion in the YouTube community in this particular arena.
If you're enjoying this conversation, I invite you to go deeper down the rabbit hole with me on Next Level Soul TV. It's packed with exclusive content like live special guest Q&As, daily podcasts, commercial-free access to the entire Next Level Soul catalog, early access to episodes before they air, and special meditations you won't find anywhere else. We will be adding new exclusive content every month. Plus, you can connect with me during my monthly live streams. Just go to nextlevelsoul.com/subscribe and join our soulful community today. I'll see you on the inside. Isn't it interesting that after you discovered, after 52, and all this information came in, that you started to attract people who supported what you were doing, like-minded people. Before that, they were few and far between, if ever.
It was very,
and all of a sudden, then you got this embarrassment of riches now with all these people showing up, and you're like, where were you 20 years ago?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
It's interesting how it works.
Yeah, but it happened just as it was supposed to, because then I started to do readings for people, and I saw tarot as a way to kind of hide, in a sense. You know, it was like using cards in a systematic way of, you know, tapping in the spirit, maybe. And yes, it kept, you know, kept like another
layer.
Yeah. And so, but then I got more and more confidence, and more, and just really with the encouragement of the community that I was in, to just be myself, to just be me. And so it has, it's just evolved into, you know, I do starseed readings. I can tell you where you come from, your birth star, but what your purpose is, why you came back to the third dimension, what is your contract? I see the dimensions. And I understand, I channel dimensions, the spiritual messages from the dimensions. Soul contract work, I've created a class around that and help folks move through phases. We use Danielle McKinnon's work, but I'm in the process of writing my own book about it. You know, it's just, it's grown and grown. I teach meditation, and I'm just me, and I have no problem talking about ETs or talking about Sasquatch. I mean, I went and had a Sasquatch reading with Gail Fowler, the urban shaman, and she told me the twins, remember the twins that I saw, that they were there when my son was born, because she channeled exactly what happened when my son was born. It was a different, nobody would know that. It's a very, it was a difficult birth. And so they are here now. So when I do my healings and clearings, I tap into them. And Rosie, she's my Sasquatch, that when I do medical intuitives and I go in and I see what's going on with your body and the blockage and how to help you release that, move it, and help you heal or diagnose illness, they help me. So I know that it seems pretty like, whoa, that's my freak flag, right? Mm-hmm. It's pretty... It's pretty colorful.
Colorful, to say the least. To say the least.
Yeah.
You said that you tap into different dimensions, and I've had many guests on the show that channel from different dimensions, and even spiritual masters and yogis who obviously discuss this. What I always find fascinating is, no matter who I'm talking to, all the truths are similar, or they all, the truth is a truth is a truth is a truth. Very few contradictions I ever hear from people from all walks of life, all traditions. When you get to the real core of it, it's really interesting. So dimensions is fascinating to me, because one of my favorite things to talk about is like parallel realities, the multiverse, all of that kind of stuff. And then, of course, just the different phases of dimensions that we have, the third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth, and so on. Can you talk a little bit about your work in these other dimensions, how you're able to tap into them, and what they can teach us in this dimension?
Well, yes. So it started with when I was a child, and I would wind up when I would go into the woods, because we lived in the woods I grew up on an island in the South Puget Sound. And so when I would be in the, you know, by myself out in the woods, walking down to the, you know, the road for the school bus, I would walk through like different times and different places. And it started that way. And it started with colors and frequencies and light. And then as I grew and I was, you know, speaking with the psychiatric nurse practitioner and trying to understand what is all this color, these places I go and I wind up. And You know, I was explaining, well, that's dimensional work. And, you know, and he counseled me and said to just ask for clarification. And so as I honed my skills, I can use dream time really effectively, you know, ask to where I want to go. I have certain ritual that I do to line up my aspects. And that's how I get there. But it took time to really understand. And then Courtney, when she came back to me in the guide form that she is, she helps me to understand what it means. And so then I channel the meanings from the dimensions. So
the one thing I've heard many times, and you just kind of touched upon it, is that the other side, in all of its forms, do not interfere because we all have free will in our lives. But if you ask for help, help shows up. They won't show up without being prompted. They're right. Funny that way.
Right.
Even though they could, like, this person obviously needs a little help. They haven't asked for it. You know the rules. We can't go down, or we can't do anything. We can't send a person. We can't turn on a song, or we can't show them the movie or a book that they need to read until they ask for help. And I think that's a right. lesson that all of us need to learn when we're having struggles in life. Ask for help. Mm. Ask for clarification. And this information does get to you. It's happened in my life many times where I'm like, what? And don't just yell out, why is it happening to me? That's not what I'm saying. Be a little bit more strategic with the way you ask it. But would you agree that's the way it works?
Exactly. And that's what I tell my folks, is that your spirit guides are not your parents. You know, they do not. I mean, not as if your parents can't be your guides. That's not what I'm saying. The crossed over loved ones. What I'm saying is your spirit guides, they're not micromanaging you. They're not. They will offer you and give you messages. They will nudge you when they see that maybe this will split your soul. They will enter and there will be an intervention. But no, it's because, and that's the eighth dimension. That's where the Akashic records lie. That's where the library of you exists, your past, your present, your future. But we have free will. And so we can change that at any moment. And we do that. And we are supposed to do that. To think that your life is already mapped out. Where is the beauty in that? There is no ascension in that, is what Pink says.
Well, it's kind of like playing a video game. If you already have all the answers, or you have the invincibility token, and you can just kind of walk through everything, it becomes boring. It becomes boring, but what's the point? You've got to only have three players, three men, as they say, to play the game. If you die once, you got to come back, but you better learn around the corner because you're not, you only got three shots at this, let's say, in a video game scenario. So a lot of people think, oh, everything's predestined. Yes and no. I would agree that there is those landmarks, those markers on the highway that you will get to. That's predestined because you set it up that way. But how you get there, you can go, oh, you could take 10-year detour to get to that place. And that's also, to my understanding, the spirit guides and the universe, as a general statement, will start to nudge you and push you in the direction that you requested to go, but you have free will. So you're kind of going off the reservation. And they first, they whisper, then they tap, then they nudge, and eventually a car hits you. And so eventually you're hit with a sledgehammer across the head. And because you're like, you apparently are not getting it. So we got to stop you. And then, you know, and that's where near-death experiences come in sometimes. And that's where, like, you had a near-death experience and had a spirit guide come in and go, look, apparently you've gone so far off the reservation. We need to at least, can't give you all the information because your head will explode.
Yeah.
But we're going to let you know that there's something happening here.
Right. There is something.
That's fascinating. Okay. Let me ask you, as you've been doing your work as a psychic, what do you see happening for our are this great consciousness shift that I keep talking about. And then a lot of people are talking about this, the higher consciousness. We're all, as a species, we are rising and raising or shifting into a higher state of consciousness, because obviously we're having these conversations. So that means that there is definitely a shift from when you were born to where we are now. There's been a shift. Where do you see us going as a collective on the spiritual side first, and then we'll get into some of the other stuff?
We are rising and growing, and we are unifying. This is kind of a long answer, and I'll try to make it as succinct as possible. So you talk about the multiverse. So just think of the universe, the whole time and space and consciousness, why we are here. What are we here for? What is this? It's pretty, you know, it's pretty far out in the third dimensional, because we are on the linear number line, to imagine, you know, to really understand. We have moments where we remember, because our soul exists in many different dimensions at one time. But understand that us in this universe that we are in our galaxy, and we are rimmed with other galaxies. It's kind of like, think of it as districts in the multiverse. Right? And so we all unite in our consciousness, all beings, all souls that are in this particular ring are united. I know it's kind of far out to think about, but things evolve. The universe is expanding. Things change. The consciousness, our consciousness, is changing. And you can see it here on the earth, right? We're kind of in our politics, in the geopolitics. It's like the world is like, whoa, it is so divided. It's so black and white, but we need that. You need the darkness in order to see the light. So understand that our light is pretty darn big if we're seeing the darkness being refracted back to us the way that it is. That it's a sign that we are growing. That is the messages that I get, is that we are moving beyond this, that collectively, our collective conscious, we are rising. We are ascending back to the sun. So when we plop out of the light, when we are born, when our soul is born, it's kind of like what I see is, it's almost like the sun or a star or a big light. And we kind of blow, we plop out and we join our soul family. And it's almost a ring. And everybody goes off and does their jobs between 1 and 15. Then we reunite, we become a collective consciousness, and we ascend back to the sun. Now, I've asked to be shown, you know, what it's like back there, but I have been shown what the higher dimensions are, 15 and beyond. And it's pretty, it's light. It's all about the light frequency. And when we achieve that, this doesn't matter at all
anymore. No, yeah.
It's like, we have achieved what we've needed to achieve in the third dimension. So understand that your earthly experience here, focus on your soul contract, because that's the whole point. You will come back and redo your lifetime with the same contract. Mm-hmm. You have contracts that you are born with. You have a contract that you come in, you are born into the universe with. Then you create these lifetime contracts from your experiences. But understand, there's always going to be a big nugget. Like mine is, I'm not enough. I'm not enough. So what I do is, I've gone out and I'm in experiences that reflect back to me that energy that I am not enough, because I need that in order for my soul to grow, to rise. Once I started to realize that refraction in the energy, then it allows you to kind of separate from yourself. like your humanness, and you see yourself as a player on a stage, and then you see all the people in your life and what they're reflecting back to you, and it takes away the sting. It takes away all that humanness that gets involved, all that pain or judgment or, you know, depression, right? Anxiety. It lets that go so that you can get to the nugget and get the work done. Could you get the work done here? You finally work through that contract. You rise, you grow, you ascend, and you become part of all that. That is.
And these different layers or dimensions, and again, none of this is news to me. We've talked about this before and we've heard it before, but there's always different flavors of dimensions. As far as the vibration, that's why I always, when I hear near-death experiences and there is a dark near-death experience, either Jesus or an angel or something of a higher vibration or frequency comes down and the lower frequency entity just can't even, they can't deal with it. They have to, it's just such a higher level. And you can kind of, I've had the privilege of meeting people at a higher, that are a higher frequency. I think a lot of people on this show, the energy that of my guests, a lot of times are of a much higher frequency than the average Joe, if you will. And you can sense it. You can feel a difference with them. You could also feel when someone is very heavy and just, you know, negative and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what's going to ask you about the dimensions is that the ascended masters we talk about a lot of times, the Jesuses of the world, the Buddhas, the Yoganandas, Saint Germains, these kind of souls, the Babaji's of the world. These souls have risen to a point that, are they within the first 15, or have some gone beyond the 15, or are they still stuck within the 15 because they are helping us, because they've chosen to stay down and help us?
Right. Very good. They're like 15th and below. Yeah.
Because they could eventually go up higher, but then they would have to let go of helping us.
Right. Exactly. Very good. Because we wouldn't recognize it.
Right. It's the equivalent. And when you said that, so people understand that they wouldn't recognize. I understand what you mean by that, but I'm going to try to clarify for the audience, because that doesn't, okay. It's hard to grasp. We wouldn't recognize that kind of energy or that kind of frequency. It would be the equivalent of a tribesman somewhere in the Amazon, and we would show up with all our technology, and they've never seen, if you can even find a human being, I'm sure there are human beings still that have never touched or seen a white person, or I've never seen this kind of technologies that we have now, showing up with this kind of stuff in a car this time, or seeing an airplane. It's so far beyond their reality that they just can't even grasp what it is. And that would be the equivalent of 16 and above.
Yeah. It's like, wow. Yeah.
They're just at a different, and it's not a higher level. It's not a better level. It's just a different level. They are at a different level of their evolution. It's like someone who's never read a book before in their life. And you meet someone who has a PhD who's read thousands of books, right. Just a different level. By the way, the person who's never read a book could be a much higherly evolved person than the person who's read 1,000. Trust me, I've met a lot of PhDs who are clueless about life. But I've met people who are quote unquote ignorant. And I'm like, well, they got a couple of things figured out along the way. So it's all relative. So with you said you, there needs to be dark to see the light. And we are rising in consciousness. Why is there so much war and anger and racism and things that have been popping up? I mean, the war in the Middle East alone, you're just like, I was like, what? Really? Again? Like, I was like, why are we replaying these old songs again? You know, and the things that are going on with Russia and even the stuff that's going on here in the States and the political arena. It's like, and by the way, political arena all over the world. It's, you could just see it happening in other countries around the world. Why are we replaying these songs again? Why are we going back and treading over stuff that in some cases is thousands of years old? Why haven't we learned those lessons yet?
Right. Because that's part of being human. That's the third dimension. Think about the administration we're in now versus the last administration versus the administration prior. Very different thoughts, belief, energy, right? We will always be swinging between the poles. That's the third dimension. You will be at completely opposite ends of energy, but you're holding the same rope, right? That's how we grow. This is how we rise. This is how we ascend, is through this. History will repeat itself. We have, you know, wonderful that we have energies running around the earth that are saying, you know, history is here to help. Look at what we're heading into. But it's a way, it keeps the balance, Alec.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It keeps the equilibrium, because this is the whole point of us being in the third dimension as human beings. We're always going to have this struggle. It doesn't matter if you're on Earth or if you're on planet X somewhere, where you are in the third dimension. This is what it is like. It is for this purpose. So it's for you to find your center. It's for you to find your relationship with spirit, that nobody determines who you are.
So you mentioned what we're heading into. What are we heading into in this next year or the rest of this decade? Because it seems like it's becoming a rockier road as we are moving forward. And I know from what I understand, it's going to be a little bit of, it's going to be a little bit turbulent. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are and what you've been told.
It is going to be a little bit turbulent, but then it's going to get better.
Right. Can you have, do you have any details in regards to that, that you can give us any sort of, I don't need dates, but just as a broad brushstrokes, what is happening to us as, you know, I know the economy, geopolitics, wars, it doesn't seem like this is going away.
Right. Well, if we continue on this same path, yes, we are, you know, we are right on the wheel of fortune, the 10th card in the tarot deck, right? It means this is the wheel of free will. Our choices can determine our destiny, our fate. We see the possibility. We've got the two choices. We have the mirroring. We are in that place where we are at choice right now. I do see relief happening in the middle of April, that like we're all going to take a little sigh of relief. I'm not going to say it on the show, but we're going to feel relief in our politics. I see that we're, I mean, do you want me to talk about politics?
Well, I mean, I think as a general statement, I generally stay away from politics. If it's in a broad space, you know, I don't want to stay on one side or the other, but if there is going to probably be something, look, we're in, you know, as we're recording this, we're in an election year, and regardless of which side of the aisle you're on, there's stuff going on, you know? Yes. And I think there's always good and bad on both sides. That's the way I always look at it when it comes to politics, because if you ever met a politician, sorry, all politicians out there, but it's a general statement. What are you seeing? You don't have to be specific. You don't even have to say the party's names or anything like that. But generally, what do you see happening? Because that will determine a lot for where we're going as a species. Because a lot of the stuff that happens in the U.S. ripples throughout the rest of the world.
People are going to choose the light. They're going to choose the truth. We're going to stand in light. We have a lot of help coming from the ascended masters, our angels, to help. We are at a pivotal point in humanity. We are at a choice. And it's like I said, it's a sign that we are evolving so much that we need this kind of big, gnarly, meaty choice, right? So we will choose the good, but we need the struggle in order to get to that point. You know, being spiritual, being in the third dimension, it's a very grown up responsibility. It's not like something that happens to you. We have the ability to determine our destiny. These challenges that we have, whether it's in our home or it's geopolitically, they are meant to challenge us, to constantly reflect back to us that we make a choice. We make a choice in where we stand, in what we want to bring in, what we want to encourage.
So what is the biggest lesson that we need to learn in the next 10 years as a species?
That it is possible. It is all possible. That it's a choice, you guys. You can choose what you want to experience. You can choose who you are and how you want to experience this life.
As an individual and as a collective.
Yes. Sorry.
No. It's an emotional thing because there's so many people in so much pain. I appreciate you being so vulnerable, by the way. There are so many people in so much pain around the world who are under delusions that they have no control over their life, that they have no control. They have no control over anything that happens to them. And the information that we put out on this show and these conversations hopefully empowers people to understand that the power is within themselves.
Exactly.
And they can choose a different life. And I know it's hard to think that way when you're in the crap and you're in the deep mud. We've all been there. I've been there. You've been there. You know, I don't think you can go through this life without being touched in one way, shape, or form like that. Right. It's part of it. It's just part of the journey. So when you're in it, it's really difficult to see your way out of it. You're like in the forest, in the trees, and you can't see anything but the trees. But if you're able to quiet yourself, look inward, start to do things little by little, reading a book here and there, listening to a podcast, meditating, all these little things to start getting you out. It won't happen like that, but it will eventually get out. Look, it took you 52 years. It took me a long time as well, decades to figure out a lot of this stuff as well. So I think that's the message of this conversation, hopefully what your work is and what my work is. So I appreciate you.
And you are not alone. There are many people, many souls out there just like you. And there is belongingness. There is inclusion. There is understanding. And it's in spirit. And I love you. So
there's that.
Yes.
Well, Jen, I'm going to ask you a few questions, ask all my guests.
Yes. Okay.
What is your definition of living a fulfilled life?
Standing in your power. Standing in your truth.
If you had a chance to go back in time and speak to little Jen, what advice would you give her?
That you are fine.
Girl! You're going to be fine. Girl, just hang in there.
Fine.
You're going to just hang in there. These people around you cray cray. And
exactly. That you are beautiful and you are loved, Jenny. Jenny Lynn. Yes, that's what beautiful. I will tell my little Jenny.
How do you define God or source?
All that is in everything is me, is you, the trees, it's the light, but it's that unconditional love that flows through all of us. It's in our DNA. It's in the DNA of the universe. It's why the universe exists. It's why we exist. That is God. God is love.
And what is love?
Wow. Love is energy. So it's pink. Love is that that flows through us, that bonds us all. It's that energy, it's frequency. It moves throughout the universe. It's what unites the molecules, moves the atoms. It is love.
And what is the ultimate purpose of life?
To rise, ascend, find your power, find who you are, belief, hope, get to trust. Once you can trust, then you relax.
Mm-hmm.
Flows, right?
Mm-hmm.
You trust. It's just like, ooh, I mean, just saying it, don't you feel it? It's like oozy.
Oh, no. It's like sitting in a warm, it's like sitting in a warm stream and just being taken. But we spend most of our life walking up the stream against the current.
And fighting, yeah.
And fighting and fighting and fighting.
Yeah, fighting.
And where can people find out more about you and the work that you're doing in the world?
JenBushman.com. And my YouTube channel is Jen Bushman. I do readings and I have classes. I have a rock shop because I'm so into the frequency of stone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a six-dimensional starseed from Cirrus. So I'm really into the frequency of stone. So,
and do you have any parting messages for the audience?
You are beautiful. You are loved. And it is possible.
Jen, thank you so much for being on the show and for sharing your journey with us and your wisdom and your experiences with the tribe. So I appreciate you, my dear, and everything you're doing to awaken the planet. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for watching. Click on one of the videos below to continue your journey. And don't forget to subscribe.